Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EWC podcast, episode number 35. I'm not in a row, but 35 in total. I'm your host, Danny Mack, president of the Extreme Wrestling Corporation. And with me, as always, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm about to open. I just sent you a picture of what I'm drinking. What am I drinking?
Oh, you're drinking the only beer allowed in Vin Diesel's home in Fast and the Furious.
I am. I'm drinking a Corona. It's, you know what? I haven't had a Corona in a long time. Like, beer, period. I can't remember the last time I've actually had a beer.
I can remember exactly the last time I had a Corona. I can remember. I remember the exact year I had a Corona last, and it was 2002.
Really?
Yes, because I detested the taste of Corona until I went to Mexico and had a real freaking Corona.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, in Mexico, you know, they don't have to pasteurize their beers and stuff, and so the flavor is just totally different. That's why I realized I really like Dos Equis as well. Mm-hmm. But again, I only like Dos Equis in Mexico.
Nice. That, like, bubbled up to my nose. I don't know what happened there. Oh, man.
I snorted is what happened.
I'm dying. Yep. So, today on the podcast, we're going to make an announcement for next season. We're going to entertain a question from one of our members. Talk a little about what we're working on right now. But, Chris, I want to start off with my wife and I are having this debate.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
Yeah. So my son, who just turned 8 this past weekend, by the way.
Yes, again, happy birthday, Silas.
Yeah. He's been wearing these slippers. It's his favorite slippers. They're these Sonic slippers that we got him in Florida. Mm-hmm. And he wears them without socks. Mm-hmm. Drives my wife crazy. She's like, it's disgusting. Okay. Like
so
why?
When you say slippers, do you mean like slides, like they're like flip-flops that just have a band over them, or do you mean
no, like indoor slippers? In the house slippers, you know, like it's okay. It's cold, so on the floor.
Do they have a backing to them at all, or are they open? Yep. Back,
yep, full-on slip your feet into these warm, okay, cushiony,
okay,
fluffy slippers, right?
Yeah.
And my wife thinks it's disgusting to not wear them with socks. She thinks, like, you put them on, your socks are sweat, or your feet are sweating, like, it's disgusting. And, you know, I do the same thing. Because sometimes it's, you know, during the day, it's hot in the house, I don't feel like wearing socks. But then when I go down into my office, the floor is a little cold, I'll throw on my slippers. I don't feel like, you know, running all the way up to grab my socks and putting them on. So, like, are me and my son crazy? Like, is this not a normal thing that you can wear slippers without socks? Like, does everybody wear slippers with socks? Like, is this an actual thing?
So I will say this as both a Floridian and a man who spent a decade in the northeastern part of the country, of the United States, mm-hmm, that is, right? I have never worn socks with slippers.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, it could be 22 degrees in my house. And I have a pair of fuzzy kind of like slides that I wear a lot. I work from home, right? Mm-hmm. So I barely ever put actual shoes on.
Yeah.
I'm either wearing Croc boat shoes or a pair of slides or slippers. Like, yeah, that's just what it is.
So let me ask you this, Chris, do you ever, you're in your house, you're not wearing socks, you got to run to the store, you got to drive out and run to the store. Do you go put socks on or just throw your shoes on, run out?
I will put my boat shoe Crocs on, which are, they're, you know, they're made for like getting wet and stuff. So you, yeah, actually don't even need to wear socks. I, okay, throw those on.
Yeah, because every once in a while, I'll throw my shoes on, like my Vans or whatever, mm-hmm. and I just run out, and my wife's just like, oh, that's so gross. Like, how can you wear your shoes without socks?
I
mean, it's like,
if I wear socks once a week, sometimes that's a lot.
Yeah.
But again, I'm a Floridian. Like, we ran around on the asphalt barefoot when I was growing up. Nice. So.
All right. Cool. Well, I appreciate that. I can now go to my wife and tell her, you know, she wrong. You wrong. You wrong, woman.
She wrong.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up question needs to be, okay, but is a hot dog a sandwich? Because that's the debate you should be having.
It's not. It really is not.
It's meat between two pieces of bread, sir.
But it's not a sandwich.
But it's meat between two pieces of bread. That's like basic definition of a sandwich?
It's not. You know.
Lisa.
I'll ask you this. What did Michael Jackson call his denim store?
That's a good question. What did he call his denim store?
Billie Jean's.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Cool. I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is a skeleton's favorite snack?
I don't know what.
Spare ribs.
Okay. What is Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, and Chris Rock's tour name?
What?
2.5 Men.
Oh, man. Oh, that's terrible. That is absolutely terrible. Oh. What do you call a well-balanced horse, Danny?
I don't know what.
Stable.
Oh. Nice. Okay. Did I tell you that I went to the doctor for my bad back? And
did
he
finally?
Yeah, no. I went to the doctor for my bad back and he told me to smoke weed. He said that I had a chronic back problem.
That's a good one. So it's almost time for the holidays. So I've got some trivia for you.
Yeah.
What do elves learn in school?
I don't know what.
The alphabet.
Oh, jeez. I should have known that. Hey, did you hear that Steve Harvey and his wife got into a fight?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was a Family Feud.
Oh. Who said mine was bad? Good Lord. Speaking of which, just a little bit of trivia. This is not a joke. Did you see that Becky Lynch was on Jeopardy recently?
I did, and it was so bad.
And she set the record for the most incorrect answers in Jeopardy history.
Chris, it was so bad. We were watching it as it was on, and they had to give her money to compete in Final Jeopardy. Like, she was -500, and they bumped her to 500. I was like, oh my goodness. It was a good one. What's his face? Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone. Man, he's a smart guy. But
he's finally getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
I heard about that. Yeah, good for him. I told you I heard about that. I told you.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Yeah,
right,
I sent you and Spoon a text about it.
People say that we don't communicate.
I know, hey. That actually, there you go. This brings me to something I wanted to discuss before we got into our announcement, and that's kind of my role in the EWC, both right now and kind of moving forward, because I think, well, not that I think, I know, because I've had a lot of conversations lately. A lot of people are just kind of confused on, you know, is Mac around? Like, is Mac here? Is Mac doing stuff? Is Mac doing this? Is Mac doing that? Like, they know I'm around because I'm on Discord, I'm talking to everybody, but so just to kind of, I guess, clarify, like, so when I had announced, I don't know, when was it, September, that I was, you know, basically coming back, at that time I mentioned that I, you know, for this season, I was just kind of going to slowly get back into things, get back into the podcasting, make some graphics, you know, I dropped the new logos that we had, I'll be dropping that new roster image that I'm finalizing, and you know, obviously a few other things, but basically, you know, in the background, in the staff chats, like, I'm still active, but for me personally, because Chris and Spoon and the rest of the staff have done such an amazing job this season, it felt weird for me to come back and be like, okay, the president's back, you know, let's go, I'm gonna run this thing now. Like, no, like, I what I wanted to do was allow this season to finish out, let you and Spoon continue on doing what you're doing, because you're doing fantastic, and just kind of getting me back up to speed, allowing me to kind of engage with the roster, find out some ideas, suggestions for changes next year, talk to the staff behind the scenes and figure out, okay, what changes can we make? What can we do here? What can we do there? And then for next season, 2024, is where, you know, I could be, I guess you could say, full time back as president. But, you know, just to elaborate on that in itself, I view this staff situation as a collaboration. I don't view it as, you know, just because I'm the president, that means that, you know, it's my Fed and I call the shots and it's me. Like, I care about the members. I care about the feedback. I care about the communication. I care about, you know, the staff getting to shine. I care about the members getting to shine. Like, it is not about me. It's not about putting me in the forefront. And so even me being back full time next season, it's a collaboration. It's me talking to you, Chris. It's me talking to Spoon. It's me talking to Jordan. It's me talking, you know, to Anna. It's me talking to, you know, all the staff, you know, Alex and M, and it's a collaboration. It's working together. It's putting stuff out together. It's delegation. You know, some staff do this, some staff do that. And so while I plan to be back in a presidential role, there's a lot of things that I won't be touching, you know, that I feel that you and Spoon are doing an amazing job at. And so it's, you know, while I'll be back, it's still going to very much be a collaboration. We're all going to work together. And I feel the EWC is at its strongest when we're running at full strength, you know, and I don't view myself as, you know, the Sidney Crosby of the team. I view myself as, like, you know, the grinder in the playoffs, you know, the person that kind of helps get the puck to the net, that, you know, I'm here to serve. I'm not here to shine. You know, I created the EWC in 1997. I've had many years to shine, as it were. And right now, I'm not about that life. I'm about the collaboration and putting the Fed first and just putting out the best product that I can. So I hope that kind of better explains what my role is now and what it will be in the future is, you know, basically, again, I'm slowly getting into the swing of things right now, doing a little bit here and there. And then next year I'll be, you know, a lot more involved, but at the same time, it's still very much a collaboration. Stop. Collaborate and listen.
Yeah, you know, and I think just to kind of clear things up here, there was never a point in time where you were completely out of communication about EWC with myself or Spoon. We've been talking pretty consistently nonstop. Like, mm-hmm. You know, everything that Spoon and I did, we always, if we were ever even the slightest bit unsure, we'd always come to you for advice because you've been doing this for so long that we were like, all right, let's kind of take a step back. Let's grab Mac. Let's see what he has to say on it. And then you'd either go, you know, I would never do this because of XYZ, or, hey, you guys are onto something. Let's talk about A, B, and C, you know? And so it's you've never not been part of the EWC, even when you weren't, quote unquote, kind of here and active in your role. But this is also the exact spot that you've wanted to be in since I've come on the staff. Like, you and I had very early talks about, like, you wanted to be more big picture, more big idea, more focusing on doing everything you can to make EWC bigger and better. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this is exactly where you want to be.
I've had my time running shows. I've had my time running the Fed by myself. You know, when I think about all those years where I was alone and it sucked, and it took a long time to get to the point where I had staff that I could trust. I mean, we have each other's cell numbers. We text each other constantly. We have a group thread, me, you, and Spoon.
You've talked to my mother.
This is true. I have talked to your mother on multiple occasions. I've met your wife. You know, yeah. You've met my wife and kids. So, like, yeah, like, to get to this point is amazing. But yeah, for myself, like, I'm a web designer, I'm a graphic designer, I'm a, you know, director of marketing, I'm a social media guy. Like, that's my bread and butter now. So it's like, if I can focus my talent on building us a website, on making us videos, on getting us, you know, pumping on social media, like getting the Fed looking great with graphics. Like, that's kind of where I want to be. And talking to the members, getting their ideas, getting their feedback, me like, okay, like, this is what we got. This is what we can do this year. This is what we can do next year. This is what we can aim to try and do in 3 years. Like, that's what I want to do. And so I finally have incredibly trustworthy, competent staff that are like, okay, Danny, like, we'll do this and we'll do that so that you can do these things. And, you know, I think, like I said, when we're at full strength, I mean, who's better than us? Who has a better staff than us? I can't think of anyone. And
I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's, you know, and I think, you know, so many things, you know, when you finally did start kind of coming back and being a little more involved in catching up and things like that, like, one of the first things you started doing was going, all right, let's focus on next year. And we started talking, we started throwing out ideas. We, you know, you started asking for feedback from the Fed, and that actually kind of leads us directly into the next announcement that we have for tonight, because we thought we were done last time, but we're not.
Yeah. So as many of you know, so the EWC has gone through many changes throughout the years. In our early, early days, we had 3 RPs per show. No word limits, because word limits weren't a thing in 1997. I don't know of any Fed that had a word limit back then. It's not something that we did. And so as we grew, that, like, things changed. And so for many years, the EWC had 2 RPs, and we were weekly. So we had Brawl and we had Rampage, both 2 RPs, both weekly shows. And then they became bi-weekly, and then the 2RP thing just kind of disappeared. And then Prime came, and Prime was 2RP, and then we took away one of the RPs, and we introduced this thing that I called the RPO, because I'm obsessed with football, which is the run pass option. But it's our reply promo option. And so basically what it allowed people to do is they had the option to reply to, you know, a role play someone wrote, and then that reply got averaged into their score. And, you know, I think the idea was fantastic. And I think it, you know, it's something that people really wanted, but then it's so convoluted, confusing, that so many people don't take advantage of it. And I think another big problem of the whole thing is the EWC was built on the single best RP wins. That is our mantra. That is who we are. That's our bread and butter. And the RPO kind of takes away from that, because it, you know, that average that gets worked in. So, like, it's not actually the single, like, ugh. So
yeah, it, you know, the RPO, again, when the idea came out, we were all for it, because we were like, all right, well, this gives, you know, this gives another tool for someone to be able to kind of get that last word in without, you know, without having to, you know, wonder, you know, this, that, or the other. And it kind of turned out to be, there's the people that love the RPO and that did them consistently. And then I think there's a lot of people that may have strategically released their RP as close to deadline as possible so as to not allow their opponent an RPO.
Yeah. And so there's probably like 5% of the Fed that utilizes the RPO in any mm-hmm. given, you know, period or whatever. And so basically I went to the staff and I said, okay, guys, like, I don't want to do the RPO anymore. Let's kill it. And so we decided to kill the RPO. So that's part one. The RPO is dead, effective next season. There's no more RPO. What's replacing that, okay, to simplify everything, is we're going to make it a standard practice that we can do 2 role plays for every single match. Okay? So you can do a second RP in every match that you're in the EWC. There is an asterisk there, and we'll get to that. But the nice thing is, and this was one of the knocks against the RPO, is that the second RP does not need to be a rebuttal. It can be a completely independent RP. And that way we're returning to our original format where it's still totally optional. You do not have to write a second, and it does not need to be rebuttal, which I feel will make a lot of people happy. It's also going to revert back to the single best RP wins. So,
and I think that's the big piece for me. And I think that's my biggest takeaway is I got a lot of feedback of like, I don't like the fact that my RPO is averaged into my first, because yeah. A lot of people were like, the RPO is tanking my score. Why should I ever try it? And so that's why they stopped doing it. Going back to single best RP wins takes all that away.
Exactly. And so, you know, we'll revert back to the simple principle of the single best RP wins. No more averaging the scores with the second RP. You know, we'll go back to the essence of who delivers the single best roleplay. And so, you know, if one person submits one and one person submits two, there is no advantage. There is no disadvantage, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be the single best. And the thing is here is we are going to do timed submissions again, just like the RPO. And this is to avoid people who will purposely wait last minute, or who will put up, you know, a crappy first RP just to throw off their opponent. Like, we're going to keep things very organized. So you will have to post your first RP within 48 hours of the deadline.
Yeah. So no later than 2 full days before the deadline.
Yeah. So if your RP deadline is Friday, then your first RP has to be up by Wednesday at 11:45 p.m. CST. Mm-hmm. So, and what that does is it makes sure that, you know, you don't wait to see if the other guy is going to put up one RP first and then decide to do two. It's like, no, y'all have to have it up 48 hours before. If you don't, you cannot write two no matter what. Sorry, too bad. And then, so there is going to be word limits on that second RP, which people might say, oh, I hate word limits. I'm not on a show that has a word limit. Why do I have to do a word limit? There's a reason for that. So I won't get too much into it, but in the days of Prime's beginning, when Prime had two RPs, there were people, and they have admitted this, there were people who would go out of their way to write a super crappy first RP just to throw off the opponent, make the opponent think, oh man, this person doesn't care about the match, they're phoning it in, whatever, I'm not going to try either. And then their second RP is this crazy perfection monster, 20 out of 20, just destroys the person. And right, like, and it pissed everybody off. Like, everybody's like, yeah, come on. Like, it was so bad, people would be like, do not book me against this person. Do not book me against that person because they keep doing this, right? And so it was, I just basically said, you know what? Screw it. We're not doing two RPs anymore. Here's the RPO thing that we came up with, blah, 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 blah. So the reason why we have the word limit on the second RP is it makes sure that you don't phone in the first one. Because if you phone in the first one, your second RP doesn't get to be this big, long, beautiful, biblical monstrosity, right? So the way that that's going to work is obviously Paramount and Prime already has their word limits. So their second RP is whatever the word limit is on that show. So 1500 for Paramount and 750 for Prime stays the same. But Brawl and Rampage will have word limits where it'll be 1500 words for a regular match and 2000 words for a title match. Again, not the first RP. Your first RP, you write as you would on Brawl and Rampage, but your secondary RP will have a 1500 word limit or a 2000 word limit if it's a title match. And then for pay-per-views, there'll be word limits for all second RPs, and those will be, you know, mentioned on the actual card itself as to what they are. To go to that asterisk where I said every single match will have the 2 RP option, this is where you cannot write 2 RPs. So to save our sanity as staff and as scorers, we're not going to do 2 RPs for any multi-person matches. So if you're in a triple threat, if you're in a fatal four-way, if you're in a battle royal, if you're in the rumble, all that kind of stuff, it's not 2 RP, it's single RP. With of course, exceptions of matches that dictate this is a 2RP match. So, for example, I believe the Hardcore Championship is always 2RP in a title match.
And the Insanity Cage will always be 3RP minimum, 3RP mandatory.
Yeah, exactly. That won't change, obviously, because that's its own animal. So, again, just to quickly recap this announcement, RPO is gone next year. In its replace, everybody can do a second roleplay. You do not have to make it a rebuttal. You have to post your first RP 48 hours before deadline to qualify to be allowed to write a second RP. You can't post two RPs on deadline day, obviously, which, I mean, that gets rid of that anyways. And am I missing anything about this?
No, I think you got it all.
Yeah.
Single best RP wins.
Yep. No more averaging.
No more averaging.
And because it doesn't need to be a rebuttal, it's not getting a separate scorecard.
Right.
You know, that was the debate about the RPO, is because it's rebuttal based, should we alter the scorecard to focus more on the rebuttal aspect? In this case, you don't have to. So, okay, let's touch on that. The rule still stands. RP1 is blind. Mm-hmm. Your RP2 can mention the first RP, but it doesn't have to. Correct. But if your opponent posts RP1 and RP2 before you get your first up, you can only mention the first one. You cannot refer to the second one.
Yeah. Every first RP in EWC has always and will always have to be blind. You cannot mention your opponent's current RP in your first RP.
Yeah, that rule stays the same.
And so, now keep in mind, we also expanded that to include fighter talk. So if they mention something about their RP in a fighter talk post for the current RP cycle that you are RPing against them in, you cannot mention that. But if they mention anything else, it's fair game.
Yeah. Hopefully that didn't just confuse everybody. But
Well, I only say that because we had a question about that very, very recently. And so we had to go make sure that, you know, because it's been a while since that came up. We were like, all right, what happened here?
Yeah. Yeah, you're basically not even supposed to talk about your current roleplay until your opponent has posted, so that you're on basically equal level, right?
That would be the ethical thing to do, yes. Yeah,
exactly. Because that was a situation before where people were cheating, where they would get other people to make comments in their fighter talk so that they can indirectly reply. Like, it's so funny how people try and find these workarounds. And then people complain, they're like, what's with, like, this 15,000 word rule book? It's like, well, because people keep trying to come up with loopholes and I have to keep updating the rule book, which, by the way, is getting completely rewritten for the new website. What? New website? Yes. Wait, what? What's a new website? Yeah, I'm working on it.
But yeah, a lot of things are going to be completely redone, updated, fresh look. The website is going to be a completely different view of EWC than anyone is used to.
Yeah, that's for sure. Should we get to, you have a question from...
Yeah, so I was just going to segue to that. So we did get a question from a roster member who asked to remain anonymous. Question is, I am stuck with my character. I can't seem to buy a win. I can't seem to get anywhere with my character. What should I do to get to the next level? I can't take another loss. And this is a question that I get quite often as well. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to give it to the big guy and have the big guy answer this question.
Yeah. So I'll talk to this person directly and say, you know, I hear you. You know, I get that it can be tough when the wins don't come as often as we'd like. You know, sometimes it's really hard to take a break from the wins and losses because you kind of get so fixated. But I think the key is to kind of shift focus a bit. And instead of fixating solely on victories, consider the broader picture, right? This is where I'm using my hands because I'm Italian, but this is where you need to step back and kind of look at everything as a whole. So how does your character react to the world around them? How do they interact with other characters? You know, world building is crucial. And I say that especially knowing what's going to be happening to the scorecard next year and how important world building is going to be. But world building is crucial. Keep expanding on who they are, you know, what's their motivations, the relationships they forge, you know, if you can.
And not just the in-ring relationships, the out-of-the-ring stuff too. And that's something that I, whenever someone comes to me and is like, I need storyline help, I've got nothing going on, my first question is, what do they do outside of wrestling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I've learned things about characters that I would have never known had someone not told me straight up, because that type of world building was not in their promos. And so that's the first thing I tell them is, we want to see that.
Yeah.
Show us more of that. Balance that with your shoot, with everything else, and show us the whole world surrounding your character.
You really want to map out a web of characters. Mm-hmm. Like if you can, map out a web of characters, map out a web of feuds, map out a web of connections. Because think of the audience as two different things. You have the audience in character, and you have the audience that's reading your work, right? So you need to connect with the audience in character, but you also need to connect with the audience that's reading your work. Mm-hmm. And we really need to remember that e-fetting and, you know, WWE and that kind of stuff, those shoots, it's not the same, and it can't be the same because it doesn't work, right? Because of how we score things, it just doesn't work.
Coming in and cutting a WWE-style 30-second promos, probably not going to win you a ton of matches in EWC.
Yeah.
Because that style, e-fetting's always been about expanding and not doing the traditional norms, right? And so, yeah. Like, that, you know, even back in 1997, 1998, when I started e-fetting, you know, it was taking what we were seeing in places like ECW, where they were doing way more long form vignette style stuff, mm-hmm. and expanding on that even more and making an even bigger impact in every RP or every promo that you write. And so that's, I feel like that's where you really start to tell a complete story.
Yeah. And I think the quicker that you realize that your character is a real entity, you know, just like things happen to us in real life, you know, we face roadblocks, we face challenges, we face ups and downs. You know, how do we respond to them? How do we deal with it? How do we get around? How do we get up? How do we get down? You know, like you said, character growth doesn't always happen in the ring. So we want to worry less about the wins and losses and more about making our character feel real. We want to tell great stories. We want to evolve them outside the ring. You know, what challenges do they face? How do they overcome them? And it can be situations where you're like, you know, my character is a straight up turn on the camera shoot person. That's okay. And there's ways that you can grow and show character growth and emote like your emotions. And that's how you can do that. But you still need to build that world around them. Like if a fan walks up to them and says something, how do they react? If you put your character in the middle of a restaurant, well, there's ambience going around all around you, right? There's people eating. Maybe there's musicians in the background. There's waiters coming and going, right? There's things happening all around your character. So have your character react in those situations. And, you know, we have to remember that it's about the journey, right? We have to, you know, you want to stick with it, care about telling your character's story. The wins will eventually come. And, you know, that's when you'll find yourself on the path to the next level, is when you embrace the process of just consistently, constantly evolving, growing your character.
And, you know, go back and look at some of the best characters in the EWC in the last 5 to 6 years. Look at what they do. Mm-hmm. The ones that won the Undisputed Championship, for instance, right? Go back and look at what those writers are doing. They're the ones telling complete stories. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are really diving in and making you go, man, I could watch a television show about this person.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, most I'd say 98 to 99% of all of those folks are doing that. And that's the type of stuff that it's what breeds excellent writing. And the more you can dig in and build that world and figure out that character, the more you're going to be able to write that character the way, number one, that you want to write it, and the way that you see that character, you know, putting that vision on in paper form, as it were. But also the more that other people are going to see that character, and the more people are going to understand that character.
And I will say, too, that there's no singular blueprint to success, because if you look at our if you look at our championship history, pick a belt, it doesn't matter which one, pick a championship, you're going to see so many different wrestling styles. You're going to see babyface, you're going to see, you know, over the top heels. All of them have won championships. You know, you have handlers who basically wrote diary style RPs, won the Undisputed. You have, you know, crazy over the top, super drawn out storytelling. One, you know, the Undisputed. You have Straight Shoot that has won the Undisputed. You have characters who call out, yell at, destroy the in character staff. Won the Undisputed. You know, so it's not like one way works and we stick to this or we stick to that. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, the way that our scorecard evolves is we don't want you to write for the scorecard. We don't want you to sit there and go, okay, let's look at step one. How do I get 2 points? Okay, I got to do this and I got to do that. Step two, how do I get 5 points? I got to do this. I got to. No, write the way that you want to write. Write for you. Tell your story. And then after, look over the scorecard. Did I mention my opponent? Yep, there it is. Did I mention, you know, the event and what we're fighting for? Yep, there it is. You know, did I mention, you know, what it would mean to me if I won or lost, or in some way kind of made an implication of like, oh man, if I lose again, I'm going to kill the ref or something like that. Like, are you doing these types of things? And then you can go in and kind of tweak it, alter it, add a little here, add a little there, remove here, remove there, just to kind of, you know, try and hit some points of the scorecard, but don't write for the scorecard, because that's when you're going to sound robotic. You're going to sound repetitive. You're going to sound like you're just adding words as filler. You know, like that's when you stop caring and it's more like you're doing homework at school where it's like, oh man, I got to write an essay. I got to make sure that it's double spaced. I got to make sure it's on, you know, yellow paper, you know, whatever the case is. Don't make that your process. Don't, as stupid as this sounds and coming from the Fed head, don't worry about the scorecard. Write for you, write your story, write the way you want to write, but look at the scorecard to make sure you're getting some of those elements, you know, the world building, the interactions with others, the showing the growth of your character, making sure you actually mention your opponent, you know, and the importance of the match. If you're in a title match and you don't even mention the title, that's a problem. Right? Because then what are you even doing? If you're in an Undisputed title match and you don't even mention that it's for the Undisputed, and you don't even mention who the champion is and who you're facing, you shouldn't expect to do well. Right? Like, these are simple little things that you don't have to write for the scorecard, but you can use the scorecard as your guide and afterthought just to make sure you hit some points. I mean, does that make sense to you, Christopher Columbus? No,
it makes perfect sense. It makes absolute perfect sense. I will say, though, that there is room for a little bit of humor as well, right? And yeah. I call this out specifically on the Rampage finale. There was somebody whose entire promo was running down our scorecard and making fun of it. And I laughed my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. So, you know, I mean, there's ways that you can do all sorts of different styles. And that was kind of what I was getting back to, is like, you can do all sorts of stuff, but at the end of the day, you write the way you want to write, and then you look it over and go, all right, did I do these things? Yes or no? And if you didn't, you can go back and you can tweak some stuff. There's a lot of feedback that I tend to give is, you know, you could have edited a quarter of this out, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't have lost any of the impact behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know you've got filler. When you can go back and go, a quarter of this I could cut out right now and it'd have no impact on the promo.
Yeah.
Then it's time to start really thinking about, am I making these words count?
And if you were to look at, like, if you're sitting there listening to this and you're like, man, like these guys are just out to lunch. I don't believe any of this crap. Go and compare. Look at Ace King. Look at Melody Malone. Look at Scorpio. Look at Stitches. Mm-hmm. Look at Xavier Reed. Okay? Just compare their writing. They're totally not alike. Oh, they're totally different. Oh, yeah. Like, just totally completely different writing styles, completely different layouts, completely different way of telling a story, completely different way of talking about their character.
And even in their similarities, they're different. So I'll get, like, you know, Xavier Reed and Ace King, you could say they have a little bit of similar style, only insofar as Ace King in almost every promo does some sort of introspection where he's talking, you know, he's kind of talking like almost noir style where he's mm-hmm. like narrating, right? Mm-hmm. He does a little bit of that. Xavier Reed does that in all of his descriptive text for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least he used to. He used to. I think he's changed a little bit. But, you know, it's one of those things where even in their similarities, though, they approached it so differently that you didn't even realize it unless you really dug in that, oh, yeah, these guys are pretty much doing similar things. But they're doing it in such a way that it's not identical.
Exactly. And, I mean, you can run down any of the brands, look at any of the rosters. I mean, Prime is filled with individuality, which is mm-hmm. super crazy when you think about the word limit being 750 words. And I guarantee they're going to be one of the happiest to be able to do two RPs, by the way. But in 750 words, they're still so different. Like there's mm-hmm. so much individuality. There's so much creativity. And, you know, you look at just the different brands, the different characters are there. And I mean, yeah, some brands have similar type of characters and maybe one brand has too many faces, one brand has too many heels. But the writing styles are different. There's humor. There's, you know, super creative stuff. There's super dark stuff. There's super deep stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a mishmash. Like, I remember, like, Shadow Man arguing with the narrator. Like, the narrator was a character in the promo who could break the fourth wall, acknowledge things going on, and they would, like, argue and like, fight, and it was, like, the most ridiculous stuff. And, like, and then you have, like, super serious characters who are just, like, focused on matches, focused on building their legacy, focused on you know, owning championships. You have others that are just goofing around, having fun. You've got, like, lunchtime. Like, there's all these different types of...
coming back, by the way.
Yeah, I know. There's all these different types of writing styles. And that's what I love about the EWC is that, you know, when people will ask me when they're thinking of joining or, you know, they sign up for the first time and they're like, you know, what does it take to win a championship? You know, what does it take to be one of the best here? And it's like, be yourself. Write for yourself. Write the way you want to write. Don't copy anyone else's style. Talk to the current champions, ask what works for them, but be yourself. And if you write for you and you have fun doing what you're doing, the wins will come. The, you know, the Elite 15 rankings will come. You know, the championships will come. The Hall of Fame will come. Like, all of these things will happen if you just stick with it, but do your own thing. Don't think you have to come in and be the next Ace King. Don't think you need to come in and be the next Melody Malone or Scorpio or King Flip or, you know, whatever. I'm missing so many names and so many people are going to be pissed off and making comments and be like, oh, thanks for leaving me out. Even be the next Jordan Sharp. Jordan Sharp has been in our Fed for like a decade and struggled and struggled and struggled and could not buy a win. And then he stuck with it. He improved. He got better and turned out to be like a phenomenal champion, a phenomenal writer, you know, with multiple characters. So it just goes to show that if you stick with it, if you give it time, if you're willing to put in the effort, it'll pay off. You know,
and I'll also say that I think we actually have a group of people that are in that same boat who, when they first came here, struggled hard. And then they worked on it and they kept working through it and they kept figuring out. And now I could name probably four of our champions that there again. And just to put this out there, if you have ever held a title in EWC, a championship title, it doesn't matter if it was for 7 days or 777 days, shout out Ace King. You earned that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if your opponent no-showed. You earned it.
Yeah.
Because just to get in that match, you did something to earn it. And so if you're struggling and you're like, oh, I can't buy a win or whatever, if I see that you used to be a champion, that's going to be my first thing to you is you were a champion here. Mm-hmm. You absolutely are not bad at this hobby. You just got to get back to what got you in that position.
And sometimes you've bit off more than you can chew.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes absolutely. It's you're running four characters and mm-hmm. you write one of them pretty darn good, but because you're divided in your brain with all of the characters, they're suffering. So maybe sometimes if you're running too many characters, cut back, switch, you know, trim it down to one, focus on that one, build that one up. You know,
it's very easy to write out somebody in a storyline.
Oh yeah, or even put them on the shelf. They got injured. They got pregnant. There's a million things we could do. Have a running with the staffing character. They get fired. They get suspended.
Yeah.
You know, kill them off. Bring them back as a zombie. There's so many things we could do.
I did that exact same thing when I became staff. I wrote off my brawl character.
Mm-hmm.
I got him. I had him get injured.
Yeah.
Because I knew there was no way I was going to be able to be staff and write.
Yeah.
At least not the first year I was here.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And then by the time WrestleFest came around, I was like, all right, I've got a handle on this. And so I brought him back. And now, you know, I may not have 20, 30, 40 matches a season, but I'm still around. I'm still making an impact. I'm still doing that's my outlet, right? That's my outlet to do the things creatively that I want to do. And then every once in a while, Chris Brock makes an appearance like he did at Prime 100 and like he's about to do at One Night Encounter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes from there.
And the other beautiful thing is, you know, when you enter some eFeds, you look at who the champions are and it's like, oh, man, like these are people that have been here 3, 4, 5, 6 plus years, not in EWC. You look at our champions, it's a mixture of ones that have been here for a few years. But look how many rookies are champions or have been champions recently. You know, look at the success a lot of these, you know, quote unquote rookies have in the EWC. You know, we love fresh blood. We celebrate fresh blood. Hell, I made an event for, you know, our fresh blood called Young Blood, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was the whole purpose, was to put a shine on new joins. So you don't have to be in the EWC for 10 years to, you know, become an EWC for lifer. No, the second you walk in the door, talk to us and prove that you're a good person and we like you, you're EWC for life before you even debut in your first match, right? Like,
absolutely.
That's the beauty of it. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you write 20 matches for us or you write zero. Has no bearing on if you win or lose. That's different in some eFeds where they reward you wins and losses because you help more or less, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen here. It's all about what you write. It has nothing to do with how you are in real life. You could be the biggest dick on Discord and still win a championship. It's been done. They're in our Hall of Fame, right? Like we just care about the writing. So to get back to that question, beautiful question. I hope you stick with it. Reach out to the staff if you need some more help. Reach out to current champions. Reach out to a couple people that you trust to give you solid advice. But at the end of the day, write for you. Please don't care if you win or lose. Just write for you. Have fun. Build your character. Evolve your character. Have them interact in and out of the ring. Build that world. Stick with it. And you'll be at the quote-unquote next level, as they said in the question, before you know it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier in the podcast, but I've gotten a lot of questions from people like, hey, like, what are you guys cooking up for next season? What are you working on right now? So I wanted to throw that question out to you. What are you working on right now, Mac?
Right at this very second, I'm working on the WrestleFest poster. I'm excited to do that, which I think, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I think a card is coming at the end of this week.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
I think we've hammered down a lot of the matches already.
Yeah, for anyone listening to this, if it is before Friday, the 24th, mm-hmm. we do have an opt-in up for WrestleFest. If you are not currently, like, you should know if you're scheduled to be in a match or not, because we've kind of done a pretty good job this year of getting those match ideas out there, at least discussing the possibilities of them. We've announced quite a few matches. You know, obviously all the championships are going to be up for grabs and whatnot. But if you don't have that kind of conversation or a set match, go opt in. Throw your name in. We've got something for you. We're cooking up. But yeah, it looks like we're going to have about 16 matches for WrestleFest this year. 16 ish. I'll say ish because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we have a cap of 20 every WrestleFest, which is 5 every night. So right now we're looking at 16, which is a solid number.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. So, you know, go do that though if there's still time. Go do it and go figure it out, because we absolutely will find a spot for you. And if you do not, if you do not have a match when the card goes up, we're gonna have so many segment slots. Because remember, the first 3 days of WrestleFest are posted live, and when we say live, we mean real time. Every half hour on the half hour. From what is it, like 9 a.m. Central we start, or is it 10 a.m. Central we start?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on how many matches we have this year per day. So
somewhere between 9 and 10 a.m. Central, all the way up until about 5 or 6 Central or later, depending upon, again, how many matches we have, we're going to be posting something every half an hour. And it may not be a match. If we only have 4 matches, we got to spread those things out, right? So we're going to have, it could be 2 or 3 or 4 segments in between every match. And so that's going to take, so those get done real time. And then Monday's the big day. Monday's the day with, the headline matches, and that all goes up at once. And so you will have so many opportunities to tell your story, to close out your story for 2023, to open up your story for 2024, because February is going to come before we all know it. And we're going to be talking about season premieres.
Yeah, which I'm working on right now. I've submitted to the staff my idea to shift some things around. So there were some ideas thrown out about moving pay-per-views around, and I have submitted that idea with what I think could work. So the staff is talking about that. We're going to have a schedule coming out probably near the end of December, before January anyways. And yeah, lots of exciting things. We got the WrestleFest poster I'm working on, the new EWC TV Championship belt I'm working on the website. So there's lots of things that I'm doing. The staff are really busy getting, I think, One Night Encounter finished up, right?
Yep. We got about 8 days or so as of the recording of this podcast. In fact, 8 days, 22 hours, 9 minutes.
Yep. So they're putting that together.
One Night Encounter.
Yeah. And then we're putting the WrestleFest card together. Yeah. So there's a lot of great things happening near the end of the season. And then for all you people who are listening that are not EWC, that are wanting to join the EWC, in January, we will open up registration back on our forums. Right now it's closed because there's nothing to join or sign in or do right now. So in January, we will open that back up where you'll be able to come join, make an account, and create your new application to join the EWC. So that's basically it for the episode 35, as we reach 52 and a half minutes on this podcast. I want to thank you, Chris, again, for being part of this, being my co-host. I appreciate everything you do. We'll be back next week with episode 36. Potentially another announcement might be coming if we agree on it by then. Otherwise, Chris, you're in the United States. Do you want to wish any of your fellow Americans? I know it's holiday weekend this weekend.
Yeah, so it's technically Wednesday morning as we record this. So tomorrow is Thanksgiving. To everyone in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. I hope all of you stay safe. I hope all of you get a chance to have a good meal, eat a lot of food, whatever your preference is, and just enjoy yourself. And for everyone else, it's a normal Thursday, and I'm sorry it's a normal Thursday. We're getting into the holiday season. There's so many holidays. There's so many reasons to celebrate and just look back and remember everything that happened in 2023. And I hope that you get that opportunity, and I hope that you get a chance to just have a little bit of peace in your life.
And if you're an NFL fan, that's the National Football League. We got 3 games on Thursday and the first ever Black Friday game. Yeah. On Friday, Jets and Dolphins. I'll be watching that one.
Yeah, when I heard about that game? I heard about that game watching my Eagles beat the Chiefs.
they did. Man, I hate Nick Sirianni. That guy, I want to punch him in the face so bad, but that's a whole other podcast.
He is so Philly, though, and I love it.
But I hate him. I hate him so much. And I hate that he's Italian. It just bothers me. Anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening. Love you all. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next week on the next episode of the EWC Podcast. Good night, everyone.